I'd like to thank my family for being here and for the support throughout this collection of work. My mom owns a store, Lorena's Ladies Fashions. It's the corner of 52nd and Kedzie. We sell Lovely Girl, Carnival Creations, Exquisite Form, and Puerto Chico. Except, we stopped selling Puerto Chico after our distributor had a heart attack and died. Stretch, spandex, small, medium, extra, extra large, 42 double D, and one size fits all. Black, white, and beige lycra, we close on Sundays. Little Temper. The gangsters in this neighborhood wear their jeans baggy with the back pockets down low and mustard gold hooded sweatshirts that look like long draping robes. Their colors are black and gold, and their symbols are crowns and numbered, scribbled on the walls, old English, fives and threes, 53 like the street. They are Latin kings, or trying to be. They are the shadows of this neighborhood. They stand around like they own this block. A black couple once pulled up to the corner. The boyfriend waited in the car and left the car running. His girlfriend stepped out and headed toward Bon Bon Bakery, but she was startled by a gangster who came around the corner yelling, "Get the fuck out of our hood, you black bitch!" with fury in his eyes, waving his arms up, stepping toward her like he was gonna beat her down. "Bitch, I own this block!" Her eyes bugged out, and her arms flailed as she walked backwards toward the car and turned fast to open the door. The tires screeched, and the black couple sped away. These gangsters, they think they own this block, walking around, standing around on stoops, recognizing people, shouting, "King Love, 2-6 Killa," to represent whoever they love or whoever they hate. I don't know any of them, just of them. Little Temper was in the second grade with me. He was a funny brown kid who looked Asian, but he could be Mexican. I don't know. All I know is he couldn't read well. He was a troublemaker. He flung spoonfuls of mashed potatoes on the chalkboard, then slid it up so when the teacher pulled it down the next day, the potatoes would be clumped on rock hard, and the whole class would laugh. His sister was nice. One time he told the teacher he didn't have to read because his sister read the whole book for him out loud. She won the science fair. I don't remember what happened to him after the second grade. I heard he was a Pee-wee Latin king by the time we were in seventh grade. One day I went to throw the garbage out in the alley, and down about three houses was a dumpster overflowing with old furniture, clothes, and pictures. I picked one up and I saw an old woman hugging two boys at a party that looked like Easter or a birthday. It was Temper, with a small white graduation cap, a big smile, and his tiny white teeth sticking out. On the back it said, "Brian. Age 5, kindergarten." I forgot his name was Brian. I go to school in this neighborhood, but I don't live here. My mom owns a small clothing store on 52nd and Kedzie, and this store is close to my mom's store and close to Grandma and Grandpa, but soon I'll be graduating and I'll go to a private high school in a different neighborhood. In the seventh grade, I sat next to a gangster who was held back and looked like a man. Sometimes he made me laugh, and sometimes he threatened to burn my store down. One day, the class was laughing at him for making a mistake, and I laughed too. He got mad and said, "Yeah, I know who you are. You're that girl that owns that store on the corner. I've seen you there. I'll burn your store down for laughing, just like I burned the cats down the alley." I did get a little scared because he was capable of doing it, but I didn't show him I was scared because I didn't want him to have that power over me. I quickly said, "Oh yeah, go ahead." And I smiled. "I'll only get richer. I own that building. I have insurance. I'll just make more money if you do that." He had a dumb look on his face and said, "Oh," then tilted his head, turned around, and went back to his worksheet. I own this block. My mother has a store on 52nd and Kedzie. Bon Bon's Bakery is right around the corner. The head of the Latin Queens lives in the apartment above Bon Bon's Bakery. They call themselves ladies. I never knew there were lady queens, let alone a head lady queen, until they moved into that apartment. She's old, I've seen her. I thought the head of the queens would be the most beautiful girl of them all, but the queens because all the queens are the finest girls with the nicest hairs and pretty frowns. They stand hard and hardly smile, but when they're together, they talk, smile, and laugh all rowdy. The queens wear dark makeup, but fine-ass makeup, according to the guys. Gold jewelry, nice sneakers, and crisp track jackets, worn half-zipped open with their boobs all squished up. And my friends and I only wish we could have boobs like that one day. But no dark makeup, because that's cha-cha girl and hoochie-style makeup. The head lady queen looks like a witch. Her hair is long and brittle with some gray mixed in with brown. Her skin is wrinkly, and she must be in her 40s. She wears glasses sometimes when she walks out of the building. She wears track suits like the younger girls, except on her it just looks bummy, like she's wearing pajamas in the street. She has the nicest Nikes, and she is always smoking and coughing. Her voice is raspy, and I think she is someone's mother because she's with these young people telling them what to do. Across the street and two storefronts south of my mom's store is Angel's funeral home. Whenever there are a lot of people outside, a young person has died, especially if those people outside are young themselves. We close the store early those days because it could be dangerous. It could be a gang funeral. And because my mom says all that sadness isn't good for business. The only time I had to call 911 was for a gang funeral. I've always thought about calling 911, but in my fantasy, it was about a fire. I'd be the calm kid who was being interviewed on the 6 o'clock news for saving some old lady and her cat, possibly the old lady queen next door. She'd come out of her apartment with her hair all fried and sticking up with a cigarette in her hand, and the cops would be shown pulling out young boys in mountains of charred-up tracksuits. But that's not how it happened. The day I called was a spring day. We were busy all day with customers because the weather was nice and everyone was outside. At 4 o'clock, a large group gathered outside the funeral home. I was near the back room of the store when I started to hear loud popping sounds like fireworks coming closer and closer. I yelled to my mom, "Agáchate que disparan!" But she already heard the shots and crouched down low under the crawl space by the dressing room. I grabbed the phone and carefully punched 911. Surprisingly calm, I said, "There have been shots fired up and down the street at 5202 South Kenzie." The voice on the other end asked, "Were they driving?" "Yeah, I think so. I just heard it from up and down the streets." "Between what streets?" "53rd and 52nd. Is this a business?" "Yes, police are on their way." When I hung up the phone, I looked out the display window to watch the people in the street. The phone rang, and I picked up. A man on the other end said, "This is Channel 7 News. We heard that a shooting occurred outside your business. Can you give us any information?" I was shocked. The news was talking to me. I immediately got nervous and frantically said, Yeah, there were shots, and everyone is outside, and the cars are stopped. Here, talk to my cousin." The traffic was caused by a bus that stopped in the middle of the street because of the shots. A passenger, a woman 8 months pregnant, was in distress. She wasn't hurt, just stunned. No one was hurt. The police questioned the crowd who scattered into the funeral home. The funeral was for a king killed by a 2-6 in the king's neighborhood. A rival gang, presumably the 2-6, drove by shooting. The lady with the push cart who sells elotes, the kind with the stick jammed in on the corn cob, all fixed up with mayonnaise, butter, smelly cheese, and chili powder. Her daughter is a ballerina downtown, and her son was a gangster. One day she parked her car outside our store and came into the shop to talk to my mom. She told us, "You should close early on those gang funeral days. They're ruthless. They will kill your children." Her son's funeral was there at Angel's funeral home. He was a gangster shot in a drive-by. However, he was armed and ready to shoot back when the rivals drove past shooting. They were shooting back and forth, and her boy was killed. The rival shooter from the car was wounded and had to have his arm amputated. The rival gang was so mad, they stormed in during her son's wake. A rival gang member started punching her dead son in the face, then pulled him up and out from the casket, punching him and kicking him with his fellow gang members standing by to watch at the side. The mother was held back by men, and she screamed in horror. The family stood there in shock as the gangsters walked out. The action happened so fast they barely had time to grasp it, let alone call the police. The woman said not one of his so-called gang family was there to protect him. It was only us. Thank you.